DePaul is
awesome,
engaging,
ballin',
an opportunity for me to voice my opinion,
really cool, really laid back,
a big community of everything.
Radio DePaul is Chicago's college connection.
Ever wanted to see our
Jolly Oat granola provides the perfect snack for when you're on the go. With guilt-free ingredients and a resealable bag, Jolly Oat granola makes snacking convenient and good for you. Based in Chicago, Jolly Oat bakes delicious and healthy granola in flavors from your childhood, like almond butter and jelly, nuts for s'mores, oatmeal cookie, and cocoa cocoa. Available on Amazon and in select stores near you. Visit jollyoat.com today to learn more.
This message brought to you by Jolly Oak and Radio DePaul, Chicago's college connection.
Good morning, Scrawl Nation. Today is Friday, May 3rd, and this is Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. You're listening to Scrawl Radio, hurried but well-considered thoughts by writers for writers, brought to you by the University Center for Writing-Based Learning, a.k.a. The Equable. I'm your host, Gia Z, joined today, as always, by my lovely and talented co-hosts, Katie A., Riley O., and Marina B. And today we're talking about journaling.
Ooh.
Yay.
Journaling.
I've been really excited for this topic because I love journaling and reflection and, you know, a bunch of things we're going to get into today.
Getting that Equable tie-in early.
You'll see it later. You'll see it later. It'll come back. It'll circle back.
And that's what we call a teaser.
There will be a callback indeed. But yeah, just check in. How's everyone doing? Are you excited about journaling? You know?
Oh yeah, I've been a little off of my journal game, like in the weeks before, but in preparation for this episode, I got back into it. You know, getting some good entries.
Oh my god, I love that! Wow, that's amazing, Marina. How are you in this? We talked about this like mid-range weather. Also.
I feel great. I was saying to Katie and Riley this morning that I feel like I'm usually like really tired on a Friday morning. And today I feel refreshed.
You're jazzed.
I feel like I had a really good breakfast. And I am excited to do this episode because I love journaling.
Yay.
And it's been like a little hobby of mine for a long time now.
Oh my God, we love that. Well, I'm so glad. Katie?
I'm doing well. Similarly, I'm well rested, feeling refreshed. I feel the same way about journaling that I do about like veganism, in that I like definitely support and like I think it's like a great enriching thing to do, but like I personally myself will never probably get there.
Oh,
and, like,
I love your honesty.
Like commit to it. Like trust me, I'm convinced you. Like I know I should be doing it, but like I'm too fallible to commit to that right now. But I'm definitely interested in the topic and reading journals and learning more about it. I think last year I learned a lot about bullet journaling, which opened my mind to all the possibilities, you know, you can have.
That's
when you open up that notebook.
I still feel like I don't know what bullet journaling, like, what its whole
to use one of your favorite words, it's a bit esoteric. It's hard to, like, know. There's so many ways you could go with it. And it really is up to the individual. So
I think journaling in general, and one big thing, like, I wanted to touch on today is how it's such a diverse and personal way of writing. And I think that there's a lot of different ways. There's no like wrong way to journal, like overall. Like there's no wrong way to like open your book and write in it.
Retweet.
Hard. But yeah, there are a lot of like different ways that are like recognizable, I guess, that you can journal. And, you know, different ways that journals come up in our daily lives, not just as writers, but as readers as well.
So, so I guess just like preliminary question, we can just go around and do this. But like, so Riley, you said you have been in a bit of a rut, but you're getting back into it. Katie, you are on the fence about it a bit.
So I'm convinced, just lazy.
Right.
More accurate.
What is like the journaling habits, practices of everyone here?
Yeah. I do journal quite a bit. I keep a book on me. I'm strapped.
Right.
You know, always.
Having a little book is so key.
You know, it's cute. And it's like, I pull it out and I'm like writing and I'm like, the city. But I journal a lot. I do a lot of just like personal reflection in my journaling and a lot of like general, you know, like this is what I did today. This is how I feel about it. But I also do a lot of poetry in my journal. And I also am a big fan of like lists.
Yeah.
And I make a lot of lists in my journal. It's really a very like multi-purpose space, I guess, but all of it kind of circles back to this overall like self-reflection and like attempting to just like decipher my many emotions.
Yeah.
Which is really helpful for me. So that's why I journal. What is your experience with journaling like?
I would say it's really similar. I also keep my thing on me.
And, keep that thing on you.
I've been trying, one of my New Year's resolutions this year was I made it like last fall. It was like a middle of the year resolution where I was like, time to change some things up. And I was like, wanted to spend, it's kind of hard to do, honestly. But I was like, I want to spend less time like on my phone, just generally. And that's been something that like since I've had a phone and like after you get really into it, you're like, I shouldn't do this as much. So I tried to journal every day on the bus instead of being on my phone. So I do that a lot. And a lot of it, I try to like set myself up for success when I journal. So like a format that I'll use a lot is I'll write down like three things that I'm grateful for, three things that I want to get accomplished that day, and then like three things that I'm like excited for, like future plans or something like that.
How easy is it to write on the bus?
It's not so hard.
You gotta have, I feel like a tough grip.
Yeah, you literally just, you need to, the hardest part about it is literally like positioning yourself because I'm also, this is something that I like struggle with when I journal in public. I'm so like protective of my journal and I don't want anyone to like look inside it ever.
I will say if I'm sitting next to a woman who is writing in a notebook on the bus, I am definitely looking over.
I know. Exactly. Like I always want to see what other people are writing. So when I'm on the bus, what's hard for me to do in terms of writing, it's not about like the bus being bumpy. It's more about like how can I position myself to like write comfortably seated on the bus while also like
protecting,
like literally keeping my journal like so that only I am the one that can see the pages.
Preserving your world.
Yeah.
And I think, well, I think that that concept of privacy within journals is pretty universal.
Yeah.
And we are going to talk about kind of the difference between like a diary and a journal. Because both kind of have, I think, this overwhelming, like, for my eyes only kind of vibe to it. Because it is a very personal thing. Did any of y'all keep diaries when you were like a child?
That question or that distinction you brought up, honestly.
Yeah, let's talk about diaries.
I hadn't thought about a lot, and I guess is bringing some clarity. Because now you're talking about lists, you're talking about little creative poetry lines. Then I do have a bit of a journal. It's just like manic and like in my notes app in a bunch of different places.
That's fine.
Yeah, I've always thought of journaling as like you're writing in first person about your day and you're recapping your day, which I think is like a very rigid way to think about it. But that's just always how I have thought about it. So that, are you saying, is fitting more into a diary category?
I would think that, well, overall, it's just like talk about the difference between diary and journal, because like I personally don't think that there's a lot of a difference. I think that it's kind of an antiquated like name change when you feel more like an adult.
I literally was about to say the exact same thing. I was going to say, I don't think that there's literally any difference between a diary and a journal. I think that journal just is like sounds less like
a child.
Like a child. I feel like the word, the very word diary is really associated with like young girls.
I was gonna say it's very feminine,
and as we all know, our society loves to think that anything that young girls like to do is mm-hmm. like stupid and not worth the time of anyone else other than like young girls that are yeah. too young and girly to know better. But really like a journal and a diary is the exact same thing. I think that journal just like people are more comfortable with like that terminology because it sounds more like
professional.
I journal.
I think I hear what you're saying, but I think there's some things that like we make sense in a journal, but make less sense in a diary. Writing reflections on on like a situation, or even like one of my favorite philosophical texts is a journal, is Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. It's just this like Roman emperor who like every day would go in and reflect on his day, but they would come out as like philosophizing, as like one should not do this, one like should do this. Every day you wake up and you meet other people and you have to interact with them. All these like kind of generalizations. But a diary, I wouldn't think of as a general thing. I wouldn't like see a diary entry that's general and prescribe it as a diary. Is this making sense?
Yes. I would say that a diary, I think, has more narrative to it. I think a diary typically, well, just when I think about like being a child and like I had a billion diaries.
Me too.
You know, like
they're all like, your parents always get you.
Yeah, your parents like get you a diary for like your birthday or Christmas or something. You're like, wow, another one to just like ramble about my 40 crushes. But I think a diary has a lot more like, this is what happened today, and I want to talk about my feelings.
My parents never got me a diary when I was a kid.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about childhood diarying.
Oh my God.
Journaling. Yeah. Diarying doesn't have a
was like far
verb.
Too neurotic to ever have a diary, because the thought that someone could read my inner thoughts is terrifying. Still is. So did you have like a locked
story about that? I just had like lots of diaries when I was a kid, and in them I would write. It's actually so crazy. Like, this episode is so cool because it really makes me reflect on my history of journaling and diarying. And I like did the same exact thing in my diaries when I was like a kid, like 7, 8, 9 years old, that I do now, which is literally just like doodle, like write little things, and then also like just write about like my life and like my feelings, basically, which often takes the format of a narrative day, because it's like, I felt this today while I was doing this. And one time I was on vacation with my family, and I was I don't remember why, but I think I got really upset one day, and then I journaled about it, or like I wrote in my diary about it, and I was like, I'm sad today for blah blah blah. And then my mom read it and wrote in my diary.
What?
Like, wrote a note to me in my diary that was like, read the contents of this diary.
What?
And it was
no.
like, I can't believe you felt this way about this. Like, you know we didn't mean it like that. And
for all the current and future
moms out there that are on Scrawl Nation, do not ever do that.
Do not ever
read somebody's
diary. That's always like a trope of like mothers or parents like breaking into their children's rooms and like reading diaries and like learning
and
their secrets.
Messed up. That's very bad.
I think that having a diary when you're like a kid, or at least, you know, growing up, and like becoming an adult, which is like stressful as hell. You know,
agreed.
It's stressful as
being
hell,
a person and going from little person to big person.
Big change.
Rough.
Yeah. Big change. I think keeping a diary when you're that age and when you're going through that is so beneficial, just because, like, I know I don't have any of unfortunately, I don't have any of my old diaries like with me here in Chicago. They're probably all back in Michigan. But
right, same.
Yeah, and just like shoved in my closet somewhere. But shame shove.
Those big plastic containers.
Filled with diaries, yeah. But I think that when I had a diary as a child, I think it really helped me kind of look at how I reacted to things and like kind of rationalize and like understand appropriate ways to think about things. Especially as someone who like has mental illness and like generalized anxiety disorder that definitely manifested when I was like a child. Looking back and looking at how I was kind of like, okay, we're really like stressed about this.
Yeah.
Let's like break it down. I was like, damn, I could have been a therapist, like, with these skills as a child. But I think that having a diary as a young person helps you with that process, like figuring out who you are.
Yeah.
Which is the entirety of like the stress of adolescence is like, who am I?
So you think like your like diarying as a child kind of influenced and impacted your whole thinking?
Absolutely.
I think that like any practice that anybody of any age has with like feeling their emotions, thinking about them,
processing them.
And I think like, even like putting that those emotions like on paper and like validating them in that way that they're like this physical presence now.
It's like really the same thing. I think in a lot of ways it's like having a therapist, and the one thing that you don't get is like the actual collaboration of like having someone react to it. But like again, I think that any practice that anybody of any age has, and especially, you know, when you're young and developing habits with like just like literally honoring your emotions and like thinking about them and why you're feeling a certain way is like great practice for just being like an emotionally literate and like relatively stable adult.
I think though, even like even though you don't have like a therapist there like reacting to your own like thoughts and feelings, you kind of end up reacting and feeling in response to yourself, you know, because you're like physicalizing it, because you're putting that emotion into the world, putting all those thoughts into the physical space, you then have a kind of like disconnect from it that you can even reflect further upon it.
And I think, I think when, especially when you go back and you read old journals, like as an older person and kind of get to see like, I know. And kind of get to see like who you were like when you were younger.
So emo.
Like that, like the voice that you had when you were younger, which I think is particularly interesting. yeah, it's always a little chaotic, but I think that's also helpful with writing in general, tying it back to the writing center.
That's true, like going back and reading your old essays and being like, okay.
And like, but yeah, having that kind of paper trail of your work and personal work especially, which is, I usually think, more like telling of how you're writing or like the conventions you know, apply to yourself. I think that looking back and having that, you know, collection is a really good way to reflect on like how you write now and how you like process things now and how maybe you like bring ideas to paper now, which all important as adults in college.
Yeah, that's real. There's always that like differing lens of hindsight and what that does to our like previous voices. Like I'll always read like my old, even just like journal entries and old essays and always think like, wow, this is so pretentious.
And I know, I thought like, it was so poetic.
And I know, like, even now, like, in 5 years' time, I'm going to look back at my writing now and be like, you really had some thoughts and you really had to say those thoughts, didn't you?
Yeah. But I think that the, as embarrassing as it can be sometimes, you know, I think that kind of reflection is really necessary, especially like as a writer who wants to improve writing, just in general, but also just like reflecting on who you are as a person.
It kind of puts you on a trajectory.
I think that this is special because this kind of writing allows for that. And I think that the concept of like time it has with it, of like spontaneity of journaling, like, you know, you journal about like your day or what's happening like in that moment, like what you're feeling in that moment.
What's that thing called? A time capsule.
Yeah, it's like a time capsule. And I like that it's such a common practice that, you know, a lot of people now have these little time capsules and it's beautiful.
It's crazy.
I'm a fan.
You know, I'm learning a lot and I'm coming to the revelation that journaling, honestly, brave. Very brave. Because I think all of my hangups are like honestly coming from like a cowardly place. Like what Gia and Riley were both speaking to, of like putting the emotions that are inside you outside you on the page does make them very real, and you are forced to confront them. And like you were saying, they become a record and it kind of delivers like some permanence to them. And that is, you know, daunting. And I think as a child, I was like not into that, and then it hindered me from, you know, picking it up as like a practice later in life. And I think I probably do have a journal because I got like a notebook full of like my thoughts, but like they're more just like poetry lines and stuff. So
I really am learning
through this conversation. I really like Marina's idea about like the three things I'm grateful for, having some structure.
That is nice.
Dude, it's awesome. It's honestly like good for my mental health because it's like I could get on the bus and I could get on Instagram and I could like look at like everyone's performed lives, or I could like sit down with a book and just start my day out with like positive thoughts about myself and my life, which is like a good thing to do.
My New Year's resolution was to read whenever I was on the train or bus alone, and that's even helped too because it just gets you, well, I guess journaling, I did it so I would like look at other things other than just like thinking about myself and like my own social life on my phone, but like I think it's still good to maybe still think about yourself on the train or bus, but like in a productive way.
In a reflective way.
Than like an anxious, just like frivolous way.
But Katie, the thought that you're having about like how like journaling makes your emotions like real is so true, because when you said that, I thought about how like whenever there's something up like with me or in my life, or just like maybe have like a new crush or something, but like I really don't want to admit it, like the first place that I ever actually like
it's like okay, I like
speak
it.
Something into existence is like in my journal. Like it's like when it's like that's the first place that I'm ever, if there's like something that I'm grappling with and then I'm like, you know what, this is like actually a thing, and it's like that's the first place it'll go is in my journal. I have to be like, okay, got to admit to myself that like I have a problem with this, or that like I really like this person, or like I want this, like something like that.
Big agree. I have a point to add to that, but we do have to take our first song break.
Yes, I know. We'll come back with that point. Quick song break here, as pertaining to our theme today, is Dear Diary by Britney Spears.
Took my breath away. Dear Diary, I can't get him off my mind, and it scares me cause I've never felt this way. No one in this world knows me better than you do. So Diary, I'll confide.
And we're back. Thank you, Britney Spears.
thank you.
Yeah, that song was very like twinkly. Do you know what I mean?
Twinkly.
It's a really twinkly song. So we're back. We're talking This welcome back to Scrawl Nation. This is Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. You're listening to Scrawl Radio, and we're talking about journaling today. We've had some beautiful conversations. We all, like, pulled out our journals, except for Katie. But that's fine.
It's in there.
We had a comment we wanted to bring back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so Marina was talking about, like, if you have, like, a new crush and you put it in your journal, that can be really vulnerable. And, you know, that makes it real. And this is going to sound maybe not the best because I have, like, no real name for this because I read it during when I was taking the ACT. But I was taking the ACT and I was reading the passage they gave me for the reading comprehension part. And it was about, it was an author writing, some famous author, I forget, saying that memoirs that people write about their life don't have to be factual. Like, they can fabricate it as long as it's, like, interesting and, like, readers can learn a lesson from it. And, like, it could have happened.
It's creative.
Yeah, and there was, like, the questions were kind of dealing with, like, the ethical ramifications of that. But I related to that author so much because I know if I had a diary, I would be, like, lying in it, like, to myself. So I was wondering if, like, anyone runs into those.
Lying to yourself.
Yeah, like, I think I would withhold details that I didn't want to confront and just, like, put them in my diary. Like, that's lying.
Okay, I kind of identify with that. I feel like that is what I do until I get to the point where I'm, like, BSing myself.
Yeah.
Like, but I think that more so than that, I almost do the opposite, which is, like, I will think, and this kind of goes back to us talking about, like, reflecting on your past journals. Like, I'll be like, life was, like, so, like, fun and just, like, carefree when I was 16. Like, I miss that. And then I'll, like, find my high school journal and read it, and I'll be like, oh.
Oh, I was still going through
like,
it.
Yeah, no, I was not having a good time. So, like, that's what's really interesting for me is that my journals are, like, I feel like always, like, bring me back down to earth if I start, like, romanticizing, like, a phase of my life or, like, a person or a relationship or, like, something that I have done previously that's far enough away that I it's, like, susceptible to me romanticizing it. Mm-hmm. If I go read about it in my journal, I'm like, oh, no, I was, like, not, like, there was still this and that problem, and I was, like, very aware of it at the time.
Yeah.
Like, so much so that I was, like, writing it down in my journal, like, this was bad. This is bad.
Equable core belief. Transparency. I think we need to be transparent with ourselves.
You gotta be true. Boom. I think a journal is, like, not
the place to lie.
It's not productive if you're gonna lie in it.
Yeah.
That is so real. And that reminds me of a little, like, I think it's an essay, like a personal essay, like a nonfiction little thing, by Joan Didion called On Keeping a Notebook.
Yes.
And
it's
in
Slouching.
Yes,
or the
yes,
collection
yes.
in Slouching, yeah.
And it touches on this really cool aspect of journaling, which is kind of like remembering how to be yourself at that time.
Yeah.
Like, remembering not just, like, what you did or what you were feeling, but what you were being, like, at that time.
Frickin' Joan.
And that was a really, really cool aspect of it.
Ooh. Oh, sorry, were you not
doing that? No, I was just saying, like, and whenever, like, after reading that, I just, like, tried to start doing that, putting down, like, experiences that I had so that I can remember, like, who I was at that time. And it's just super cool.
I love that.
Sorry, I got so excited because your and Joan's ideas about remembering where you were at a specific time reminded me of that Equable in-service where they had a few writers talk about their specific writing practices, and one of the women on the panel, she is pregnant, and she was talking about how when she carries her children, she keeps letters to them, like diaries of how she was going through her pregnancy, and, like,
that's beautiful.
You know, before they were born, and I, like, almost started crying. Like, isn't that so beautiful?
Yeah. I remember that she was, like, talking about how she, like, writes basically a journal, but, like, to, and this is a question I was going to bring up, is, like, who do you write to when you write in your journal? Because her concept was that she writes a journal, but, like, to her unborn child. And then I think, like, throughout the first couple of years of that kid's life, and then gives it to them when they're, like, maybe an adult or something,
or
15 or whatever, which is so sweet. But, like, I think that that's an interesting question is, like, so when you aren't doing a project like that, who do you write to when you write in your journal? Because I feel like in past times, I literally, like, when I was little, I kept a diary, and I would, it was, like, the typical, like, literally, dear diary. Like, I would do that. Yeah. And then at other times, I've been, like, I'll be, like, talking to myself. I'll be like, hey, me, Like, how do we feel about this? Like, I'll literally, like, have myself as the audience. And now I just write in my journal as, like, it's like a stream of consciousness. Yeah. And I feel like I don't address an audience or, like, I try to keep it very, like, blank in terms of, like, not even thinking about an audience, just kind of, like, capturing the way that I think in my mind.
Trying to avoid having a target for your writing. That's interesting.
I would say that I definitely write to, like, an entity of sorts.
Yeah.
However, it's very, like, unimportant.
And it's not you.
And it's not me. No.
And it's hard to describe more than an entity.
Yeah, because I've never addressed it. I've never, you know, really thought about, like, who I'm writing. Because I'd say I'm writing this for future me.
Yeah.
I'd say, like, I'm writing this for when I can look back. And it's a lot of, it's first narrative, you know, it's like, oh, I did this and I did this and this person and I had a fight and like, how do I feel about it? And I think I feel about this. And so I think that I definitely keep in mind, like, I'm probably going to look at this in the future, you know?
Yeah.
I'm probably going to look back at this. And I think that, like, kind of addressing it to yourself in a different, like, context, I guess, or a different, like, tense.
Yeah.
Right?
It's
pretty helpful, at least for me. I've been looking through my journal, like, while we've been chatting a little bit. and just looking at, like how I journal and stuff, and, like, now that I have, like, the physical thing in front of me. And I definitely have, like, a lot of weird, like, poetry lines between my stuff, but a lot of it is very much like,
just to,
this is what is happening and this is how I'm feeling about it.
Kind of,
and it's also like, this is a personal story, but it's okay. I went through a breakup recently, and, like, before the breakup, I had a lot of back and forth about whether I should break up with the person or not, whether, like, our relationship was healthy, whether I was happy. And a lot of my journal, because I started this journal in the new year, like, on New Year's Eve, the first entry is New Year's Eve. A lot of it is about those conflicting feelings and getting them down on paper and kind of, like, validating how I was feeling in the time and, like, how I felt about situations and what I, you know, worries that I couldn't tell anyone else, or, like, thoughts I had about the relationship that I didn't feel like I could express to anyone else. I think journals are just a really safe place to actualize really private thoughts and information in order for yourself to, like, make decisions and reflect on things that maybe you just wouldn't be able to talk about with, like, other people, because they don't have the perspective that you have, or, you know, they don't have the full story, but your journal does, and it'll absorb it all, and then you'll look back and be like, oh. So I feel good that I have a record of, like, this. Well, it's a bad relationship, but, like, now I can look back and be like, good decisions, good rumination.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I think that touches on a great aspect of, like, sometimes I do write to, like, kind of a future me, or, like, I write to, like, record stuff that I know I'm going to, like, check back at later. But I also write for the present me, you know, like, writing for that reflective element. Sometimes I write a journal, and I think part of it is because a great example of, like, journaling for me is what I've learned about Stoicism as a philosophy, which, you know, it prioritizes reflection and the like. So journaling's a big part of it. But sometimes I'll, like, philosophize in my, like, journals, and I never know who that's to, because I never know if it's, like, to myself, if I'm just trying to work out, like, a thought on how to live or how to, like, do this crazy thing called living, or if it's, like, to, like, someone who will read them in the future, if, like, someone will dig up my journal in 200 years and be like, ooh, literature, this is fresh.
And discussing journals as literature, I think that's a good segue, because, you know, we've talked about journals in the context of, like, being writers, but we also read journals, which is, like, the number one rule is, like, don't read someone else's journal. But we read journals a lot in literature. A lot of books, a lot of classics are written in a journal context, which I think offers, especially because we've been talking about the different ways that journals are so reflective and multidimensional, I think that offers something very different that other like writing conventions or genre conventions in literature cannot.
Yeah, that's true. What are some of the famous journals?
Yeah,
that we
what
read?
Are your, some of your favorite booky journals?
Also, here's a thought. Is depending on how personal the content of it is, I feel like a lot of letters could fall into journal category.
That's true.
Especially when you look up like famous journals, you're going to get Diary of Anne Frank. But you get a lot of like letters from like famous people, like address like Nelson Mandela's letters from prison or like Gramsci's prison letters. And I would say
mostly prison letters.
Well, yeah, I would say like journal.
Yeah. I think that that's... Yeah, pretty similar. Especially when we're talking about audience and like who you're writing the journal to. I think in a way that can definitely just be a letter if you have a specific audience. Like, for example, Nelson Mandela is writing to just like the general South African population. That's really interesting concept. I would say that a lot of the journals that I've read are definitely like more personal, single narrative journals. Which I don't like saying that because it makes me feel bad because I'm like, I've read journals that are personal, secret narrative journal. And I'm like, maybe I should have read.
It's a very big
thing. We can talk about ethics.
I will say, but I really want to bring up the ethics. I think that like just really the clearest, obvious example, most obvious example is like Anne Frank's diary. And I really want to discuss with y'all the ethics of that and like how you feel about it, because something that I remember about reading that is that it was assigned to my class in like seventh grade maybe, which is like number one, just like a horrible time to like have kids try to be serious about anything, so to like give a bunch of like immature, like insecure, like tweens, like to assign them a very, very personal diary about like a girl that was like suffering the Holocaust is
a little
is a lot. And then also something that I find troubling is that a lot of schools, so like number one, we could talk about the ethicality just like of journals being published, and especially of journals being published like posthumously,
Like without consent of the writer.
And two, that like there was a lot that was cut out of Anne Frank's diary. And a lot of schools will assign the like abridged version, which most of the passages I think that are cut out of it are like about her like exploring like her sexuality and her body, which I think is also kind of unethical. Like I think that,
yeah,
like,
that
I think
seems wrong to me.
Depending on like the ethicality of like it's like it, almost it's like the ethicality of publishing a journal without the explicit consent of the author, like notwithstanding,
and then proceeding to alter it,
cutting out parts that fit an agenda, or like cutting out parts that like aren't considered like valuable, or that are considered like obscene by certain powers that be that like have a vested interest and like a certain agenda when it comes to assigning and publishing a person's journal in the first place, like really rubs me the wrong way. So I'm wondering what y'all's thoughts are on that.
That is a really complicated question. And it makes me think of if any of you saw the movie The Danish Girl a couple of years back, that was based on some posthumous diary, like journal, like entries from Lily Elba, one of the first people to ever get sex change surgery. And that's a really like complicated
and
situation.
And making that into a movie.
Yeah. It's
that's
got
a
those,
whole nother step.
Those concerning layers because
based
it was,
on your interpretation of a dead person's diary.
Yeah. And that's a big thing.
Recounts trauma. Like that is.
Yeah. That's like a big aspect of it, because there was someone who like found these like journals, these like diary entries, and then thought like, I understand this person now. I'm going to publish this. I'm going to publish this story. And on one hand, it is the like broadening of a story. It is the like expression of that and something that other people can relate to. But
and I suppose in some way it's also kind of, see, if this is the problem I have with like publishing journals, especially like after the death of their author, is maybe they would have consented, you know, like I think there are a lot of people who had like very important things to say and wrote them down like in personal ways and would be like, yeah, I like want people to hear this and I want people to hear this voice. But even outside of that, you know, taking that mm-hmm. and without the consent, saying like, people need to hear this and I understand this person in the context. When in actuality, you know, we've talked about writing journals are such a personal thing. I don't think anyone can really understand the narrative or the context except for the writer in the moment.
It's something very unique, like that only like you can really kind of relate to and mm-hmm. understand your own journal, mm-hmm. your own journal entries.
Yeah.
And pretty presumptive, it seems to me, to like kind of glean understanding from that. But mm-hmm. it's still like complicated by that like potential for consent, potential
Absolutely.
For that sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're writing in your journal or your diary, I feel like you're going to be the most dimensional you'll ever be perceived by anyone, because you're writing for yourself about all of your emotions, you know, presumably all of your day, anything you want to talk about. But in both of the cases we just brought up with Anne Frank and with
Lily Alba,
it's like people are kind of extracting only the narratives they think will work kind of for their agenda, you know? So we want to raise up Anne Frank as like a figure of like tragedy of like, how could this happen to this young girl? But like, you know, she was going through it in other ways that wasn't just Nazi Germany. It was puberty and it was her own emotions. Like, she was a multidimensional young girl. And same thing with Lily. It's like, I feel like she maybe, you know, was talking about a lot of things in her diary,
like,
and then they extracted, you know, only things having to deal with her transition and, you know, built off those narratives without kind of taking into account other emotions of this person. So I think when you're only publishing a diary to like tokenize for an agenda, that's you're running into issues.
That's real. I think I gathered that too, kind of like from the movie. There's something that like rubs me the wrong way about it as like a trans person, as it is kind of like, not necessarily like fetishizing, but like it is like hyper, like
that's the main element of her identity and personality.
Exactly.
Yeah. And when you have representation in film, and film especially, you know, where you have like a visual representation as well as you know, audio, everything, I think when characters get tokenized and they get reduced, Like when, you know, you cut parts of Anne Frank's diary out of her own freaking diary. When you try to reduce characters to, like Katie was saying, the agenda you want, or, you know, and so, you know, Lily at that point is her only, you know, not personality, but like her, her only purpose in that point is to serve as like an example of a transitioning person. You completely destroy the narrative and the individuality that journals can hold and discuss about a person's actual personality and like actual being, which I think is really destructive and not the point of journaling.
Yeah, I think it's a counterproductive, because if you reduce the dimensions of like someone's personhood to like, as Katie was saying, like just a very distilled like example that everyone can point to about like a certain thing, whether it's like the World War II,
Nazi Germany,
you know, it's like then you do a disservice to everyone, because you make it seem like when people go through certain things, that's the only thing that they do and are.
Yeah, you kind of like try to condense somebody's life and somebody's whole like personality and dimensionality into a story.
Yeah.
And we are not like single stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, well, snaps. Good conversation, guys. This is a good time to take our second song break. This is Ramble On by Led Zeppelin.
Now I smell the rain, and with it pain, and it's heading my way. time for spreading rumors. The time has come to be gone. And though I held sweet drink a thousand times, it's time to ramble on.
And we're back. This is Scrawl Radio. Hello, Scrawl Nation. You're listening to Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. Do you want a little plug?
You're listening to Scrawl Radio.
Yeah. I should have said, welcome back, Scrawl Nation. This is Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. You're listening to Scrawl Radio. Yeah, makes more sense. We've been talking about journaling today. Yeah. We're really excited about
gotten into
that.
Some deep ethical questions.
Yeah.
About Reading journals.
We've discussed that reading journals in general, maybe not very ethical.
But
without
writing
consent,
in journals,
writing journals, freaking great,
super ethical.
But for last like wrap up, we usually do what you're reading. We have a little question for everyone. If you could read anyone's journal, dead or alive, whose would it be? And just saying, we talked about reading journals is unethical, so or maybe in some ways, so you know.
Yeah,
but it's also irresistible.
Yeah.
Speaking to the whole, you're gonna look at the people riding on the bus.
And
sentiment.
A big part of the like unethicality of it is like rephrasing somebody else's journals and like reading somebody else's interpretations of somebody's journals. But like the journals themselves, that's something authentic. That's
definitely
something
right.
Real.
Yeah. Not publishing, just, you know, sneak it a peek.
Yeah, so if you could sneak a peek at anyone's journal or diary or whatever, whose would it be?
I have to say, yeah, this is my brain. This is my baby, this question. I think number one, my grandma, my maternal grandmother. Sorry, grandma, other grandma. But like my maternal grandmother had like a crazy life. And every time she tells me like stories about it, it's always in such a casual way. And I'm always like, you did what, Nana? And so I would love to read her journal. I think it would be so interesting and just like really, I don't know, I feel like my grandparents like led very different lives than me and I feel like I have never really gotten to a place where with any of them where we've like really been able to like understand each other and like what we've been through as different people. So I would love to read my grandma's journal. And then other than that, I think I would really like to read like Courtney Love's journal. I think is probably super interesting.
So you could see that she killed Kurt.
I just want to know, that's like, my opinion. I feel like she had a crazy life. And she probably had some crazy things to say.
Yeah.
Some recent photos of her resurfaced in the Wendy's. Has anyone seen those? They're on Twitter. They're amazing.
Okay, in the Wendy's?
Literally.
In a Wendy's. Just like
she's in a Wendy's?
Just like drunk in a Wendy's a couple years ago. It's amazing.
I love that.
Yeah, that's good. Well, those are great answers, yeah. Marina.
Really?
Thank you. Riley, do you want us to come back to you?
Yeah, no, I got some.
Or do you got it? Yeah, you got it? Okay.
It's a really tough question, I think, for me who like spent a lot of my time reading philosophy, because so many philosophers basically just write down all their thoughts.
Yeah.
So,
but someone who isn't
really
like a philosopher, you know?
Yeah. Like, I got to open my mind.
Who you
up.
Want to be a philosopher. And you're like, tell me, honey.
Yeah. Well, the first thing that came to my mind was Socrates, because he actually never wrote anything down. Oh, like, his was, all of his stuff was like, all of his stories were told by his student. I really wonder what he would like specifically think, because so much of his life was unique, you know?
Love that.
But also, I was thinking, like you said, your grandmother, I'm really intrigued by like the stories of people who came before me. Mm-hmm. So I often hear from like my family and relatives, like kind of stories of, so I'm like Finnish, in part, of course. So my mom will sometimes tell me about like the Finnish immigrants who came like to America, and how they like came and like founded communities and like invented a holiday or two. And I really want to like know their stories, and I really want to hear like journals or diaries from those people who are like willing to like immigrate to a completely different place.
And yeah, my grandma.
Those people with there back then. Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Katie?
If I'm getting my hands on a journal, I want to hear some gossip. I want to hear some debauchery. So I think I do like either like a Grace Jones or like, honestly,
that's a good answer.
What might be amazing would be like just like a random bar back at like Studio 54. Like, I want to hear their perspective.
Ooh.
Random bar back at Studio 54. Yeah, I love that.
I want to know about like what that life's like, hustling, you know, late 70s, NYC. Also, I just think it might be like so, like it would be a guilty read, but it might just be like so delightful gossip to read, like in early 2000s, like pop star, or like socialite, like a Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the writing would be like, but like I'm definitely interested to get my hands on that as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'd say for me, wrapping up the show, my first thought was serial killer. But then, because I was like, I want to know what's going on in there, in that brain.
Yeah.
But then I was like, you know, when people are serial killers, they often like don't have a very large like emotional capacity. And like, I feel like you might need that to be like reflective in a journal.
So it wouldn't be too juicy.
It wouldn't be juicy. It'd probably just be like a bunch of lists.
Might not even have journals.
A bunch of
lists. They probably don't even have journals, because like that's how they get found out. So
like, they're too smart for this.
You might be too smart for that. So backing up, changing my answer. But I would say I really enjoy journals from different time periods than mine, but recent ones, because I think that the shift between the recent decades has been really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I would say I also want debauchery and gossip, and so I'd probably choose someone like, you know, Janis Joplin, or like, or similar to Katie, you know, someone who like ran the door at Studio 54, or like, you know,
everyone employed.
Oh, you know, what? I want to read Suzanne Barsht's.
I thought you said Susan Boyle at first.
No.
I was like, yes.
Suzanne Barsht's diary. She is like a club promoter and like from New York, and she's like crazy and famous.
Yeah,
and she's,
I would
like
love
a genius.
That.
Oh, you know what? I would read the diary of that crazy girl that like acted like she was like a heiress. Do y'all know what I'm
Theranos?
Talking about?
Theranos? Elizabeth Holmes?
No.
Well, no. I would read her diary, too.
She was, like, Sophie something, maybe, or I think that was maybe her, like, pseudonym, and she acted, she was, like, this happened, like, really recently.
I think
she,
we're
like,
talking about
she,
the
like,
same
pretended,
thing.
You might be, she, like, pretended that she was, like, a German, or she was actually German, but she somehow pretended she was, like, a New York, like, rich socialite.
Uh-huh. And then she wore that choker to court?
She basically,
yeah,
like,
we're talking
scammed.
About the same person.
Yeah, she, like, scammed a bunch of, like...
Oh, Ava, what is her name?
Not Ava DuVernay.
It's not Ava
DuVernay.
No. Okay, just kidding. Sorry. Okay.
There is a book.
I think we all know who this person is, but
yeah,
don't know her name.
Like, vaguely.
Maybe we'll say the answer in the blog post.
or maybe it shall remain a mystery.
Yeah,
to all
for you
of
guys
us.
To figure
Anna
out.
Delvey.
Anna Delvey.
Ah.
Yeah.
Fake heiress Anna Delvey who tricked New York's elite.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
A woman who posed as a fake German heiress to scam hotels.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was like the Bling Ring, but like just one girl.
Know, I read a book freaking a while ago by someone who like not purported to be
Ocean's
a reincarnation of like Jesus Christ.
Oh.
While thinking, there's a lot of cool journals out there.
Yeah, there's
y'all.
A lot of cool journals. Everyone should read the journals. That's all the time we have for today. This is Scrawl Nation, Scrawl Radio signing off. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you same time, you know, next week. Have a great rest of your day.
Bye.